Welcome to On Strategy Showcase. I'm Fergus O'Carroll in Chicago. As most of you know, I was born and raised in Dublin, Ireland, during a time when the Catholic Church basically ran society. It had oversized influence on pretty much everything we did back then. And we all know how that worked out. So when I saw this campaign, He Gets Us, you can go to hegetsus.com to see all of this work too, as well as our website. When I saw this campaign, it was kind of jarring to me because I've always been a religious sort of skeptic. I've always felt that there's sort of God and then there's religion. Religion is man-made and religion gets in the way of my relationship with a higher power, let's say. Now, I'm not a religious person, but I do have some pretty strong opinions about this whole topic. If you're interested, there's a great book. I read it a couple of months back by a guy called John Ward, J-O-N Ward. It's called Testimony. And it's one of many books that have actually come out recently here in the U.S. and I'm sure globally that you could read for deeper background on this. But this campaign, He Gets Us, has done, in my mind, a phenomenal job and a very successful job in terms of its KPIs, and you'll hear about that, in sort of reintroducing us to the origin story of Jesus. And if you're a believer in Jesus, that in the Bible, you may be familiar with some of that. And rather than having us focus on the sort of things that are modern day interpretations of it, it certainly feels to me like this campaign, even though Ken, our guest today, it does not say it out loud, I think it is really a sort of an indictment of how the church has really been hijacked by culture warriors that, you know, they choose division and fear over optimism and hope. The main target for this campaign is religious skeptics, Christians who are skeptical of the church, and young people who are just coming into their formative years. The campaign has been funded by a number of different families that are very conservative-minded families that have been behind this. They've spent over, I think, this is what I've read, over $100 million behind this effort to get this out. Now, that certainly says that this to me, that there is a great concern about the lens through which religion has been portrayed in the last 10 or 15 years in this country and maybe in other parts of the world. But what this campaign does is it really does sort of deliberately avoid the religious trappings and language of religion. I think that's what makes it so brilliantly powerful for me. And its honesty and its willingness to use language that is unexpected coming from a group that is supportive of a religious cause. When I talked to one of the guys that was originally behind the formation of all of this, he is out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. And this is not Ken that we talk about today. He told me about the problem statement that was put in front of him and other people that they were being asked to solve. Now, listen to this. This is from the groups that are funding this campaign. I've been told that the line was, "How did the world's greatest love story become known as a hate group?" Now, if you had any client put that in front of you, you'd be blown away, let alone a religious organization. So I think it's to their credit that there's a lot of honesty in this work. And as you'll see throughout our interview today, some of the lines that are used and the storytelling devices that the agency involved in this, which is Lerma, out of Dallas, Texas. Major kudos to Lerma. So I am really excited to get this one out here. I know it's not typically what we do, although it is a massive marketing effort. And it's just something that has really struck a chord with me, given the fact that the work is so strong. You can see all of the work on our website at onstrategyshowcase.com, and you can reach the organization behind this, which is He Gets Us, at hegetsus.com. Here is the CEO of an organization called Come Near, which are behind this effort. They're not the funders, though. This is the CEO, Ken Caldwell, and I hope you enjoy it. Here's a spot from the campaign.
There was an influencer who became insanely popular. Everybody started following him. Then, one day, he stood up for something he believed in. People got angry. The establishment called him an extremist, said he shouldn't be allowed to share his views. They would stop at nothing to shut him up. So they did what they had to do. They nailed him to a cross.
There are obviously some people who are going to have differing opinions about this campaign, and we've all read about them. And so the question is, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this episode? Well, we're doing this episode because it is a phenomenal example of great marketing. And if we're truly interested in doing the things that we say we want to do in marketing and in selling of products, which includes building community, which is building preference, which is changing minds, which is being provocative for good reason, to be memorable, and engaging audiences, then this is a phenomenal example of that in a territory that many people shy away from. This campaign has caused conversation in my own family, and I'm the father of three teenage daughters, and it's provoked a lot of conversation in our own household, but it's been incredibly moving to me. And for listeners of this show, you know, I rarely get deeply moved by something, but even watching the work before the show started today, revisiting and seeing some of the spots, it continues to give me chills to see what this, the impact the campaign has on me and how smart and well done it is. I want to make sure that I do give credit to the writers, the cinematographers, the art directors, the people who are involved in this behind the scenes, because it is genius in how the issue has been addressed and how the topics have been addressed and so phenomenally crafted. I am thrilled to have you here, Ken. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for the invitation. Pleasure to be here, and thank you for your kind comments.
As with all marketing, Ken, as you know well, you're a former CMO of Wendy's QSR in the U.S., also of Domino's. So you understand our world here. And I think we have to realize that we have to be able to find a way to connect with jaded audiences in meaningful ways. And I think that we all struggle with that. We have to be able to provoke people. We have to be able to be memorable in order for these messages to come through. So I'm imagining that your experience in marketing was a big factor in the development of this work from the very beginning. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it is. I've seemed to be drawn over my career just time and again to roles or to challenges that involve marketing or innovation, or even, you know, where marketing and innovation come together. Anytime you've got a challenge, just rethinking that challenge and finding a new way or a different way that people have not thought of before, I love that kind of thing.
So when we look at this this initiative, why is this campaign necessary, do you feel? And what is the key problem it's trying to solve?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, you look at the world today, and I would say the United States as well, and you see just a lot of hurting people, people that are hurting in a lot of different ways, whether that's the divisiveness we see out there, the isolation, the uncertainty, the anxiety, depression. In fact, I think, you know, it was the Surgeon General's report that came out in May of 2023 that talked about a loneliness and isolation epidemic in the United States, and the significant mental health and physical health even issues that come out of that loneliness and that isolation. And we see this as an opportunity to kind of invite everyone from wherever they are to learn more about the life and the story and the love of Jesus.
And so was there a sense that this was the time to do it, that there was a greater role for the church, or was it an indictment, in essence, of the way the church has been dealing with those issues or the way in that it's reacting to them?
I think really what it was a time we see of hurt people hurting in this area, and that the story of Jesus, that that invitation, in marketing terms, you'd call it the top of the funnel, or that awareness, getting that awareness of Jesus, and that using the power of the media for good, using the power of the media to share that message of Jesus in a broad way, in an inviting way that invites everyone to join, is something that we weren't seeing being done that we wanted to make sure was.
So the concern is not necessarily the way that religion has been speaking to society in your mind. It's just that, and my impression is you're not going to say that anyway, but I'm just sort of curious, why this completely different tone? Was it the sense that the way that religion and churches have been communicating to the public was not as effective as you wanted it to be, or it was not effective amongst the people that you wanted to reach?
Yeah, I think two things there. I think that we know that there's a large and growing group of people that we did a lot of research on that are searching and that are open-minded and feel like there's got to be a better way out there, but they don't know what that way is. And at the same time, it's difficult to be able to, for most individual churches, to be able to get on the media airwaves and be able to put a campaign like this together for multiple reasons. I think whether it's just a simple budgetary matter or it's access to people who have been trained in marketing and advertising to be able to tell the story of Jesus in an authentic way. So I think it's really the combination of a research insight that we had about a group of people, a large and growing group of people across the U.S. that are searching and open-minded, want to learn more, want to seek a new way, perhaps. And at the same time, the capability and a group of folks who have backgrounds in marketing or innovation or advertising or production or writing that believe this story can be told in an authentic, new, and different way, and that can be done via media in a pretty large way, like you would do a campaign for other new products and other things that people have seen.
So I remember a number of years back. You'll probably remember the same thing when shopping for a car online became a new thing. The automotive brands would roll out this idea of you could shop for your car online, you could configure it, you could explore the different options, and then you could click the button, and then you had to go into the dealership. And people were like, "Well, I don't want to go to the dealership because the dealership is what I've been running away from." Or I've walked away from, because the experience isn't what I want as part of the shopping experience. So my question is, in this situation, are you establishing a new way to practice religion, a new place to practice religion, or are you funneling people back into the very system of religion that they choose not to be a part of? So what's the sort of end game, so to speak?
Yeah, I think what we're starting with is to really, you know, invite everyone to that story of Jesus, to learn more about him. And where we're focusing right now is in the piece that we don't believe is being done well. Yes, it's true that if you measure awareness by are people aware, generally aware of Jesus, that number's fairly high. But in terms of what we would call in the marketing world top of mind awareness, are you thinking about him actively? That number is quite low. And so how do we drive that awareness for Jesus? And then secondly, not just awareness, but a curiosity to learn more about him and to want to take that next step to learn more about him. And then thirdly, I would say, not just awareness and curiosity to learn more, but a genuine interest in Jesus and the story of Jesus and his unconditional love for all of us. Those steps, we believe, are the pieces that are very complementary, that are not being done or able to be done by very many groups or churches that can really get awareness on that scale. So in a way, we believe that we are complementing what's being done out there. And so you will see us, we're still a fairly new organization. I just started full-time with them in November of 2023, so only been here a few months myself. So we are quickly working on things like our website, to improve that website because it's very new, and being able to take people a bit on a journey from that awareness to that curiosity to learn more. And if they ask deeper questions, to be able to find answers to their questions, and developing that interest, that deeper interest in Jesus and taking that next step.
You know, I was raised Irish Catholic. I grew up in Dublin, Ireland, and in Irish culture and Irish society at that time, there was no distinction between church and state, and so the church pretty much was a very strong part of society and was very rarely questioned. And I think in me as an individual, over time, it sort of pushed me away from organized religion and led me almost to believe that there are two distinct places. There is a higher power, if we call the person God, but then there's religion, which is created, I argue, it might be created by man. And so they maybe are fighting against each other when we look at the way that religion's role in politics and society has gotten so polarized and so impassioned in modern society. And that's not a new thing, of course, but it's just something that we're experiencing in our lifetime. So I'm curious, you mentioned that you want people to learn more about Jesus. Does learning more require a church? Does learning more require religion? And do you see a distinction between religion and a church?
I think that as people get curious to learn more, I think that we are encouraging people to explore that path and to lean into it and use, you know, all resources as it comes to them. One example of that would be, we feel we can be a connector in some cases to help people get the resources they're looking for. That could be questions and answers on our website, or that could be, for instance, where we are connected with the YouVersion Bible Reading Plan. And so we could connect people to a free Bible app where they go on the YouVersion Bible Reading Plan and, again, explore further. Ask more questions, learn more questions about that. And over 500,000 now, over 500,000 people have chosen to learn more about the Bible through the YouVersion Bible Reading Plan. And so we feel like that, again, is a good example of helping people, if they have the desire to explore and they're on a personal journey to learn more, how can we encourage them or help them get to the resources that can help them answer more of their questions on that journey.
And speaking of questions, I remember being, I was talking to a person within your organization in the early stages of the conversations who pointed out to me that there was this amazing question that I think it was posed by the folks who were founding this organization or funding this organization or curious about. I think it was one of the families had brought this question. And it's an incredibly provocative question. And I was so surprised that it was coming from the people involved. The problem statement that this campaign wanted to address or solve for, the question was, how did the world's greatest love story become known as a hate group? What a powerful admission that things have kind of gone wrong and we have to help course correct that. I think that would be the implication of that. Am I interpreting it wrong? How would you interpret it?
Well, you know, we do believe that Jesus' love for us is the greatest love story ever told. The greatest love story ever told, Jesus' love. And we just hope to remind everyone, including ourselves, all of us, that the Jesus teachings and his life, they're a warm embrace, not a cold shoulder, not meant to divide, but to bring people together, to unite. That Jesus didn't let a pro this or anti-that opinions prohibit him from seeing the value and his love for all people, his unconditional love for all people.
I think a lot of people may feel that they can't relate to religion because religion talks in ways that is not easy to relate to. But what we all want in our lives and we all want in our families and in our communities and across the world are the values that are that you guys have chosen to sort of frame this entire campaign around. This is a hard question to ask because you seem like a very deliberate man, and but I think it has to be asked, which is the idea of how can people of God support religious and political figures that contradict the teachings of God? And this is one of the most critical things that people who are skeptics or people who are younger, who are looking at the way that religious figures and political figures are aligning, and that people whose behaviors, not just political people, but church people, whose behaviors contradict their stated beliefs and how those beliefs are justified and those actions are justified. It's appalling for many people. Yet there are people of God who are very supportive of these individuals, and it baffles us. Why does that happen?
Yeah, I can't speak specifically to people's different people's motivations to do what they do, but I tell you, as the team at He Gets Us that I work with, we just looked and to the example of Jesus. And time again, we didn't see examples with him working to divide people, but rather you saw Jesus over and over again finding ways to meet people where they are.
No, and I hear you on that, and I think you've made that clear. But how can how can the vast majority of evangelicals and Christians vote for certain people or support certain people? Isn't that the antithesis of what Jesus wants for them to be doing? How do they reconcile that? How do you think they reconcile that?
You know, that's hard for me to speak for others and how they see the world. Our focus is just Jesus, inviting everybody to learn more about him and his teachings. And certainly his example was love, was reaching out to people and finding them where they're hurting and meeting that need and serving them above others, and not using that to as a power play, but rather to meet people at their point of need and show that love to them. That's what we feel like is the story that doesn't get told as much as it needs to be told, and we're trying to do that.
I want to introduce one spot here. What's really very interesting to me with religion being sort of defined by its extremes, one might say, many of the issues that you address in this campaign, which are reflective of Jesus's thinking, our teachings, issues of social justice, issues of forgiveness, issues of inclusion, issues of compassion, we do not practice those in our lives today. And what the campaign beautifully does is it almost presents our world today and the situations in our world today are the things that we might cast judgments on today in modern society. And so what these actual spots are beginning to do is make us face some of the realities of what we're experiencing and doing in modern culture and reflecting on how we're judging people. And I think that the birth, which is arguably my favorite spot in the campaign, is a brilliant example of this.
A young girl had a boyfriend. She got pregnant. She was scared. How could she face her parents? What would they say? Can't hide something like that forever. Her parents asked who the father was. They assumed her boyfriend, but baby wasn't his. He loved her so much, he offered to help raise the child with her. They married and found a small place. They had very little money and no insurance. one evening, her water broke. There wasn't time to get help. He delivered the child and lay him in a manger.
That is the story of Jesus's birth. And that completely, when you watch that spot, and hopefully people will see it on our website, that they at least were able to listen to it, you immediately think of putting this in a context that is personal to you, and you're so shocked by it. And it makes some of the signals that come from organized religion seem foreign. And so I think it really does bring a more pure voice of the teachings to bear. Another spot I loved is love your enemies. And what the basic structure of most of these spots is we're looking at black and white imagery. We're looking at images from modern society, be they confrontations between people, protests where people are fighting each other, disagreeing with each other, angry with each other, hateful towards each other. And you're seeing all of these black and white images with a voiceover. But what's so great about them is that the end line, which is in my mind the most powerful line, in each case is a silent line on the screen, and you have to read it, you have to engage in it. And so here's love your enemies, and the line at the very end is, Jesus loved the people we hate.
Maybe I'm foolish, maybe I'm blind, thinking I can see through this and see what's behind. Got no way to prove it, so maybe I'm lying. Take a look in the mirror, what do you see? Do you see it clearer, or are you deceived in what you believe? 'Cause I'm only human.
So, I mean, that to me is another extremely powerful reflection of how we are behaving in society and how we think everybody feels in society and how disconnected that is from the idea of a world of people who care and love for each other. One last spot I would mention is rebel. And rebel will drop in also. And the line at the end here is, Jesus was wrongly judged. And again, what you're seeing here is lots of images of people that you might be, that you're programmed to be suspicious of, groups of people and people across different faiths, people across different ethnicities, people who look different than you may look. And the line is, Jesus was wrongly judged.
A rebel took to the streets. He recruited others to join him. They quit their jobs, left their families, and swore allegiance to him. They roamed the hood, challenged authority, and made a lot of people uneasy. Community leaders feared them. Religious leaders abhorred them. Law enforcement labeled them outlaws. We have to shut them down, they said. Get them off the streets. Protect our communities from these troublemakers. But they weren't part of a gang spreading hate and terror. They were spreading love.
So that, those are, you know, spots that Ken, I think are just incredibly powerful and so well crafted.
When you're dealing with powerful concepts like this, one, we want to make sure that we're sharing truth with people, and we want to make sure it's all grounded and has a foundation of truth that we're all working on. And at the same time, we want to make sure that we're coming to people and presenting this message in new and creative ways. And there's a lot of tension there, right? And there's a lot of work. So for every 30-second TV ad or 60-second TV ad or video ad that's put together, there's just hours and hours and days of discussions with each other and agreements, disagreements, to make sure we get every word right. It was really, really thankful to hear you liking Rebel and the line, Jesus was wrongly judged, or the ad in last year's Super Bowl where we said, Jesus loved the people we hate. I can tell you absolutely a lot of hand-wringing and...
I can imagine, yeah.
Around those lines, right? There was even before those lines came out, before we launched those ads, even though they were very well received and created lots of discussion and drove lots of awareness, I could tell you right up until they ran, there was a lot of nervousness about those lines. But what we try to do is to say, we're not looking
for... And those are the very words that made this campaign and make this campaign... authentic and compelling, is that you don't expect those words. And that's what makes it feel that it is coming from a different place, a more authentic place.
That's well said. I agree. And I think that that's what we're trying to do, is to be true, to be authentic, to be real, but at the same point to say the kinds of things that will stir up conversation and get people talking and get people asking. As you know, with your long career and marketing and watching this and advertising, there's always that safe place to go, which is just saying what everybody's already said. But to go to have the courage and to have the desire to go that step further and say, but how do we say this in a way that doesn't just make an impact during that 30 seconds of this TV ad or 60 seconds, but rather, it's something that people, after they've seen it, they ask questions about it. They talk. What did you think of that? So we're looking for ways that where we don't answer every question in the ad, but rather we provoke, we challenge, we get people really thinking about this Jesus and the story of Jesus, and what did he really mean by the life he lived, and what does he mean by the teachings that he has. So that's where that Jesus loved the people we hate type of a line, or Jesus was wrongly judged. We want people to go, wait a minute, is that true? Let me go back and look, and let me maybe ask somebody else about that, or go to the Bible or Google that or whatever. Provoking that, creating that curiosity, creating that interest, that's what we're trying to do, is to do that well.
And let alone the line at the end of the spot called The Birth, which we played earlier, Jesus was born to a teen mom. I mean, come on, who would be willing, or who would ever expect that a church would be willing to share that fact? Now, last question is, because we're a show about strategy and about things that work, can you share some of the stats? I mean, you're a marketer at heart. You understand the importance of these success metrics. What have been some of the factors that you're most proud of in terms of impact that's been made and quantity of impact?
Thank you for that question. Yeah, we are measuring it every way we can to see what the impact is and to make adjustments, because results are very, very important to us. We have, since the inception of the campaign, we've now received incredible awareness. We at one time were able to, we peaked at about 73% awareness numbers and over 3 billion video views. So as a result of He Gets Us.
Is that an unaided awareness level or aided, Ken, for that 73%? Do you know?
The 73% would be aided.
Right. That's amazing also, for God's sake. And is that the U.S. sample, obviously?
Yes, right. It is. And we saw over 3 billion video views. So as a result of He Gets Us, over 3 billion people have sat down or over 3 billion times people have sat down and watched a video about Jesus. We've seen over 500,000 people that have seen our ads. want to learn more and to sign up for a free app, a Bible reading plan from the YouVersion Bible, we have just since the Sunday of the Super Bowl, we have seen now over 3.3 million website users come into our website where they can learn more or seek to learn more or get connected with somebody to help them learn more about this. We've also been able to connect to what's called alpha groups, over 18,000 individual people to learn more about Jesus. So those are just some of the early statistics on this, but it's been the awareness, which is where we want to start, the awareness levels we've been very, very happy with. Like I say, we peaked at 73%, but we've seen awareness levels kind of varying between the low 60s up to as high as the mid-70s. And so
that's your earned, your earned media numbers must be just phenomenal also. I mean, what you're getting in terms of earned media coverage.
Yes. Yeah. It's, and I think that's the key is creating that conversation, right? Being able to state with statements like Jesus was born to a teen mom or Jesus loved the people we hate. Those kinds of lines that we, as you said, well, we don't state those. We have them in copy so that people are watching the ad and they read that and read it in their own voice and hear it in their own voice. We see what that tends to do, because we hear that back in the social media, is that people take that and either they love that message, they love where it leads them, or it challenges them and they challenge back, and that creates a conversation. And we feel like those are the right conversations to have. And so, yes, that the earned media and the social media as it results out of this is definitely a part of our strategy.
So what should we expect next? Is there sort of a shift in the strategy as you move forward now? Because you've got you're almost 18 months in. You've got super high aided awareness figures. You've gotten great reaction. Do you now need to sort of pay more attention to the lower funnel? And you know, what do you do with this absolutely massive need and desire out there for people to engage with you? There's obviously a hole in many people's hearts and minds that they want to learn more about this. It's resonating with them. What do you do with all of that energy? You want to make sure you don't want to lose it. I mean, do you sort of go further down funnel? Is there an added component?
Yeah, it's a great question, and yes, the answer is yes. We will continue. The past, to your point, up until now has been almost 100% awareness focused, or I would at least say 95% awareness focused. But the way I think about it from the marketing training of my past and experience is you go from awareness to, as you say, engagement and then activation. And we're not going to completely shift, but we're going to start to shift now. You will see us moving from just awareness to awareness and then engagement. So for example, some of the metrics that we care more about in the future is not just awareness metrics, but are people not only aware, but are they getting curious? Are they taking actions that show that they're curious to learn more? What's their overall interest level, and how can we measure and that interest level in this overall campaign? How long are they spending on our website? How many are coming to our website? How long are they spending on the website? We know we have, by the way, for those of you out there who go to hegetsus.com, know that we are making significant improvements and adding a lot of content. We're so new. we're asking for grace here because we're so new. We have a lot of work to do on our website, and we're putting a lot of energy there right now because we want that website to be better and to help answer people's questions better. Not just our website, but other resources that we have as well. That's where the very small team we have is investing a lot of hours right now building that part out, to your very point. So we move more from awareness to more into the engagement. Additionally, in 2024, we're going to emphasize loving our neighbors as Jesus did through service events, through art, through advertising, and engaging content and experiences that bring people together.
So everybody, you can go to the website, hegetsus.com. Also, you can go to YouTube. All of the work is up there. There is a massive body of work that's been produced over the last couple of years, roughly. And most all of it is an absolute joy to look at. It is at Ken Caldwell, CEO at Come Near, which is the organization that is behind this effort. They're in Denver, Colorado. Thank you, Ken, for being so generous with your time, and we're really excited to have had this conversation.
Thank you, Fergus.
And we will see everyone on the next episode.